Good morning, grace and peace as we gather for worship on, I believe, the first real winter feeling day we've had up here in Northwest Vermont. It is wonderful to have you with us on a gray day outside as we gather in the light and the love of God. It is great to have you here. My name is Mitchell Hay, and I'm the pastor of the Essex Center United Methodist Church in Essex, Vermont.
And I'm Barb Lemmel. I also attend that church, and I'm married to Mitch. And I'm remembering that we actually had snow a couple weeks ago, so this isn't the first.
Oh, this is not the first. You're right. I have a short memory. But it was cold this morning, and it is wonderful to, and we're thankful for a warm, wonderful house from which to connect to you all. We also have a dog who is reminding us that it is cold outside, and she wants to come in. Today at the Essex United Methodist Church, it is Gratitude Sunday. This is the day that folk are all this week. Folks have been sending in their pledges for making ministry happen through 2021, making ministry happen in the name of Christ, in concrete actions of love, compassion, mercy, and justice. So if you haven't sent in your pledge cards, please do that. If you would like to be able to help out, if you're not a member of the church but would like to help out, on our webpage, there is ways for you to be able to help out as well.
There's a donate button.
There's a donate button.
Yeah. Okay.
It is Gratitude Sunday. And we are very thankful for all of you who could be with us today. We have hellos from the Adirondacks in North Creek, New York, and from Atlanta and Chicago and Florida and Fairfax and Westford and Essex and South Burlington. And wonderful to have you all here. It's Gratitude Sunday, but we're going to be talking today in detail about a related word that comes out of gratitude, and that word is compassion. How about compassion?
I'm all for compassion.
I was about to go into the sermon here, so that's why I'm all messed up. So never mind. If you all have the bulletin in front of you, if you have your, whether on Facebook or you get the email and have that with you, join in the bold type in the call to worship. Otherwise, just listen as we get ourselves into a place of worship. This comes from Cheryl Lowry, who's a wonderful poet from Australia. And a bunch of years ago, she wrote, "They are right, the folk who say that our faith is the product of an overactive imagination.
Who but the foolish look at barren ground and imagine food for all?
See past desolation and believe it will become an oasis.
Are not stopped by war, but live for the day when it will be peace.
And reach deep into the world's fear
in the prayer that it will bring life."
So if faith is the terrain of the deluded, then welcome to the festival of the foolish.
We bear justice and grace with Martin Luther King Jr. and Mother Teresa and St. Francis.
We sing words of hope and joy with David and Miriam, Deborah and Micah, the poets and prophets of peace and mercy.
We gather in the name of the one who turns the sensible rules of the rulers upside down and inside out.
To dare to live as fools of compassion, fools of praise,
fools for the kingdom, fools for Christ.
Welcome to worship, fellow foolish friends. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to slow down a little bit and take time to breathe and be fully here with an opening to God time from Steve Garness Holmes. I invite you to breathe deeply. Breathe deeply in. And so it's the very presence of God filling your lungs. And breathe out all that constricts, all that shrinks us, all that separates us from love. Christ, the crucified one,
be my light,
the radiance of your gentleness,
light my way,
the light of your self-giving,
show me my path,
your nonviolence be my way,
through the sea of this world's terror,
your tender love be the law.
You give me on the mountain.
Your healing touch be the prophetic word.
You blaze in me.
The light of your compassion.
Guide my way in doing justice.
Your dying and rising.
Show me the way.
Your radiant presence.
Be the light by which I see.
Your gentle mercy.
Be my path.
Christ, the loving one.
Be my light.
Amen. So Danielle and her family have a young people's message for us today.
Hey guys. So Jesus told a parable, and I'm going to kind of tell it in a different way and just see what you guys think about it. So, Emmett, say I said, all right, I need you to go pick up the playroom. Mm-hmm. You need to pick up all the Legos, and when you're done, I'll pay you a lot for it. So, you decide to go pick up the Legos. And after you've been in there a couple of hours, I see Hannah, and I said, oh, go help your brother in the playroom. I need you to help him pick up all the Legos, and at the end, I'll pay you for it. And so then, a couple hours later, you're almost done. And Allison comes, and I say, oh, Allison, they need help in the playroom. Go pick up the playroom, and when you're done, I'll pay you, so you help. The playroom's all done, and at the end, when you come to give me, I hand you $100. And you're like, how would you feel about getting $100?
Yay!
Yay! And then I hand you $100.
Yay!
And then I hand you $100.
Yay!
How would you feel about getting $100?
I'm not happy.
But how long had you been working?
Longer than the girls.
So when you saw Allison only helped you for 10 minutes, and I gave her $100, what would you think you were going to get?
Like a lot more.
A lot more. So if you said, oh, Allison got $100, and you were getting all excited, and I hand you $100, how do you think you might feel?
Kind of fair.
Kind of sad. Yeah, you think it's fair because you only worked for 10 minutes. He'd been in there 6 hours picking up all your Legos. You might feel a little sad. So Jesus told a parable that was kind of like this, about men that went to work in a vineyard, and the owner paid them all the same, even though some had been working a long time and some hadn't been working as long. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking how sometimes when we compare ourselves to others, it can kind of take away our joy. I like to think of a saying that says, comparison is the thief of joy. So if I had just said, Emmett, I'm going to pay you $100 to pick up all the Legos, how would you have felt?
Yay.
Super excited. $100 is a lot of money to pick up the Legos. You made a mess of yourself. But when you started comparing yourself to Allison, who only had to work for 10 minutes, it kind of stole your joy about having the $100. Right?
Yeah, because she should have had less.
Yeah, but it doesn't really matter what she has. Did it take away from your $100?
No.
So why should it take away your joy about the $100? You should be as happy about the $100 no matter what else.
I was happy about it, yeah. But then you wanted to make
So, what I think I want you guys to think about is sometimes when you look at around and you look at what other people have, maybe they have a pool, or they go on these awesome vacations to Disney World, or they get to fly on planes, it can take away from the good things that are happening to you. But instead, I want you to thank God for the blessings you have instead of comparing the blessings other people have, because we're lucky for everything that we have. All right? Don't let comparing yourself to others steal your joy. All right? Can we say, yeah, you like the story because you put $100 for 10 minutes worth of work. But, dear God, help us to be thankful and so grateful for all the blessings that you give us. Help us to look at them with a grateful heart instead of comparing them to what others have. Help us to know that comparison can steal our joy, and help us to find good in all that you give us. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Danielle, wrestling with one of the tougher parables. That's great. Thank you so much. Can I come over to your house and pick up Legos for 6 minutes? That'll be great.
Don't tell our kids that you pay them to pick up Legos.
No, that would be bad. Especially now that they're 26. And so that was a parable Jesus told about the kingdom. Our reading that we're going to be preaching on also comes from Luke's gospel, and it is going to be read by Emily Franz. And this is Luke's very rough equivalent of the Sermon on the Mount that we touched on in Matthew not long ago. This is a sermon on the plain, down low, where everyone could gather. So share that with us, Emily.
But I say to you who listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, and praise those who curse you. Praise those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. When one slaps you on your cheek, offer the other cheek as well. From who takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt. To all who ask of you, give what you have. From one who takes what is yours, ask nothing back. As you wish people to do for you, do for them. If you love those who love you, what grace is yours? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what grace is yours? Sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope return, what grace is yours? Even sinners lend to sinners for a like return. But love your enemies and do good. And when you loan, ask nothing in return. Your reward will be great. You will be the children of the highest. God is kind to the ungrateful, as God is to the cunning. Be compassionate, as Abba is compassionate. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and you will be given. A good measure of wheat shaken, packed down, and overflowing will be placed in your lap, since the measure of what you give will be the measure of your return.
Thank you, Emily, so much. We're going to talk about compassion. That is the one piece hiding in there. Jesus says, be compassionate as Abba, mommy, daddy, is compassionate.
And it's worth knowing that if you were coming up with adjectives to describe 2020, compassionate would probably not be at the top of the list. There's a pandemic, there's politics, there's a growing, though late, awareness of the inequality in our country. There may be bits of compassion underneath it, but it's not been a year where we've seen a lot of compassion out in the open. And so maybe this is something that we need to be taught about by Jesus as we head toward 2021, mm-hmm. which we hope will be better than 2020.
Amen.
So in this setting, right before Jesus does this sermon on the plain, he heals a man with, the scripture says, a man with a withered hand mm-hmm. who comes up to him and asks for healing. And, you would think that wouldn't be a very big deal, except that it's the Sabbath and you're not allowed by the rules to do any healing on the Sabbath. And Jesus totally knows this.
Healing is considered labor, and you don't do labor on the Sabbath.
Right. And there are people standing around watching to see if he's going to do labor on the Sabbath. And he does. He says to the man, stretch out your hand, and he heals his hand. And then he starts into the Sermon on the Plain.
First he goes up to the mountain and prays. He also chooses the 12, and then he comes back down. Right. And then this very long and powerful and really aggravating bunch of rules to live by.
It's challenging. And at the core of all of these rules, it feels to us, is compassion. Mm-hmm. So that Jesus says, love your enemies and do good. When you loan, ask nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the highest. God is kind to the grateful, as God is to the cunning. Be compassionate as your father, as your Abba, is compassionate.
It's really interesting to take the two sermons from Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount, and Luke's Sermon on the Plain, and line them up and see where they're the same and where they're different. It's really powerful. In Matthew's version of the Sermon on the Plain, Matthew's version, Jesus says in good King James English, "Be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect," which I always found incredibly disempowering.
Well, it just sounds like a high ask.
It's impossible. Luke shares it as "be compassionate as Abba is compassionate." And it's an important distinction. When we think of perfection in the Western Greek sense of performing or being without flaw, getting that perfect 10 from the judges, that ain't going to happen for the vast majority of us. We aren't. And it seems like an impossible, even foolhardy undertaking to try, because we're going to mess up. But Luke brings out a more Hebrew way of thinking about it. The Hebrew prophet's sense of perfection, not being without flaw, but for perfection meaning ethical wholeness, completeness, which the Hebrew prophets said was about caring for the vulnerable, the hurting, the marginalized, the lost.
And so perfection is being compassionate. And in fact, the word in Matthew that's translated "be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect" can also be translated "be whole," mm-hmm. as God in heaven is whole. And wholeness means having the ability to create compassion, having the ability to offer compassion.
Now, as Methodists, we may be familiar with John Wesley's term of calling us who are growing in faith as going on to perfection, which a lot of us had a little trouble with when we were in seminary. But it's very similar to the Greek Orthodox term theosis, which doesn't mean without flaw. It means being more like Christ, being more God-like. Is a pretty intimidating term, but being
having the love of God.
Yeah, we are made in the image of God, and we grow more and more into the image that God has us be, which means more like Christ, which means more compassionate.
And that compassion can come out of a sense of being whole. Sometimes compassion comes out of a sense of having enough. I mean, I think mm-hmm. when we feel as though our life is abundant, then it's easy for us to be compassionate. It's easy for us to be generous because there's the sense that we do it out of our extra.
Right. But I can pay a kid $100 to pick up Legos if I have a whole lot of money.
Right. Still want to be a kid in that house.
That's right.
But so absolutely, it's easier to be compassionate when we feel like we have a lot to give. Mm-hmm. I think what Jesus' Sermon on the Plain is saying is be compassionate even when you don't feel like you have a lot to give.
Yes.
Be compassionate as part of who you are. And so as we've been thinking about what's the core of compassion, where does it come from in us? It can come from our abundance, our sense of having enough, and that's a part of it. It also, I think, comes from our sense of being humans together, of people who struggle with the same life issues, no matter who we are, no matter where we are. And that brought to mind for me a poem by Naomi Shihab Nye, who writes a poem called Kindness. Maybe you know it. I'm going to read the second half of that poem. She writes these words. Before you know kindness as the deepest thing inside, you must know sorrow as the other deepest thing. You must wake up with sorrow. You must speak to it till your voice catches the thread of all sorrows and you see the size of the cloth. Then it is only kindness that makes sense anymore. Only kindness that ties your shoes and sends you out into the day to mail letters and purchase bread. Only kindness that raises its head from the crowd of the world to say, "It is I you have been looking for," and then goes with you everywhere like a shadow or a friend. It's when we know our common sorrows, as my friend Jane used to say, it's when we really get it that there is plenty of pain to go around and everybody's got some, that I feel that can move us to compassion, which literally means feeling with, right?
So yeah, that idea that we can be compassionate out of our wholeness, I can be compassionate out of my wholeness, but we can be compassionate out of our shared brokenness.
Well, and there's shared wholeness. Humanity. There's a wholeness in recognizing that we are all one humanity. Mm. So wholeness doesn't mean not broken.
Right.
Wholeness means we are here together with each other and with God. And out of that wholeness, we can offer compassion.
And all of our shared experiences. Henry Nouwen spoke in a very parallel to that. He wrote that the deep truth is that our human suffering need not be an obstacle to the joy and peace we so desire, but can become instead the means to it.
Exactly.
The great secret of the spiritual life, the life of beloved sons and daughters of God, is that everything we live, be it gladness or sadness, joy or pain, health or illness, can all be part of the journey toward the full realization of our humanity. Compassion means the willingness to help each other in making our brokenness into the gateway to joy.
And it feels like that's what's good to be reminded of right now, right?
Yes.
So that we don't have to fix everything to be joyful. We don't have to fix everything to care about each other. We have to be together in this because, friends, you know this as well as I do. We don't have any choice about whether we're in this or not. Mm-hmm. We are in this pandemic. We're in this time of political uncertainty. We're in this awareness that our country and our world are not put together at all the way that God would have them be. And sometimes that can get to be a real weight on us. We don't have any choice of whether or not we go through it. Mm-hmm. What we do get to choose every day is how we'll go through it. And will we go through it together, showing each other compassion and feeding each other's joy, even in the midst of difficulty? That's where the Holy Spirit works in us.
There's a powerful piece of music and a powerful story that is based on that powerful assurance that you spoke of. We shared this story about a dozen years ago here at Essex. And it's a story back in 1971, a long time ago, a guy named Alan Powers was doing a documentary about homelessness in London. And the audio engineer was a guy named Gavin Bryars. And he was doing the post-film editing for the documentary. And he noticed that whenever a particular homeless person was in the camera, there was a weird noise that he kept trying to filter out, and it followed this guy wherever he was. And then after a while, instead of trying to filter it out, he filtered out everything else to try to hear what was that noise. And there was this constant acoustic undercurrent following this man. And as he filtered everything else and got it. He thought, well, it sounded like muted gibberish. And then he did some more filtering. And after removing the background street noise and cleaning up the audio tape, this was back before things were digital, Breyers discovered that the old man, in fact, was singing. And the song that he sang was the same one over and over and over again, a simple, repetitive Sunday school tune. But for him, it was a divine song of the heart. And he would just sit and quietly sing it, uninterrupted for hours. And it goes, Jesus' blood never failed me yet, never failed me yet. Jesus' blood never failed me yet. There's one thing I know, for he loves me so. Jesus' blood never failed me yet. And like a film loop, the song's final line would feed into its first line, and he would start up the tune over and over again without ceasing. It was like not so much a mantra as much as a background music in this man's heart that was there 24/7.
And one of my favorite parts of this story is mm-hmm. that when Gavin was working on this in his office, he had the music playing kind of on a loop. He just had this gentleman singing the song over and over again. And then he went out to get some coffee. And when he came back, the crowded newsroom that he worked in was silent. Everyone else in the room had quieted down to listen to this music. It had this was a group of jaded London journalists. And everyone just had stopped to hear what was going on. Some people were weeping. They were moved by what this simple homeless man was singing.
So we have about 30 seconds. Well, I'll tell you, Gavin Bryan eventually created a symphony around this man's song. He died right at the end of the filming of the documentary, the homeless man. And so Gavin, kind of in honor, made a symphony around this simple Sunday school tune. We're going to hear it without the symphonic. It may be that Facebook grabs this because they recognize it or not. We'll see. But
listen, Jeremy will take care of it if that's the case.
If you want to listen to the whole piece, we have the link to the YouTube video in the bulletin, and I'll send it out again later. But listen for about 30 seconds to this homeless man singing this song.
Jesus' blood never failed me yet, never failed me. Yet Jesus' blood never failed me yet. This one thing I know, for he loves me so. Jesus' blood never failed me yet, never failed me yet. Jesus' blood never failed me yet. This one thing I know, for he loves me so.
Lovely.
Yeah, we're going to offer a bit of an apology, in that this song is a tremendous earworm, brainworm. And you may be humming it all day long. And if you go and listen to it on the web link, I guarantee you that it will get into your head and you'll be humming it either aloud or to yourself for hours. That's happened to me more than once. And since we started talking about it, it's been in my head pretty continuously. But that's not a bad thing. And I want to share with you something that has happened with me that I think is sort of interesting. So when Mitch and I first started talking about the song, I said, oh, the song from that homeless guy, you know, Jesus' love never failed me yet. And Mitch went and found it and then said, it's not Jesus' love, it's Jesus' blood, which is the same thing, right? But for myself, as I've translated it into my own setting, it sings perfectly well as Jesus' love never failed me yet as well. And so we offer that up to you as a way to remind us of what it is that makes us whole and what it is that we share when we share compassion. Mm-hmm. And it's that love that's never failed us yet. And that helps us remember to not fail each other also.
That same song of love you can hear throughout the Bible. In the Hebrew prophets shared that same song in their own culture and idiom. It reminds me of Isaiah's tender words from God when Isaiah sings, Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, my Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her nursing child or show no compassion for the child of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands.
So this message that God's love's never failed us yet, it's like an underground river theme. Mm-hmm. All the way through scripture, yep. From the very beginning of in the beginning God created,
yep.
All the way to the end of come soon, Lord Jesus, amen, at the end of Revelation. God's love is just, it's the background of all of scripture.
Yep.
And I would say that at least for me, for us, God's love is the background of the universe, the world. And to me, the reason folks were weeping in Gavin Breyer's office is that it's also the background in each one of us, in our spirits, or the longing for that love. And there's something that happens in us when that background that's deep inside us connects up with the background that's deep inside everything in the entire world. And there's a link, there's a wholeness. There's an ability to offer compassion that comes out of that.
Yeah. You hear it echoed in the first verses of the Bible, and when God began to create, it was a word God said. It was a word of love. In John's gospel, that echoes it. In the beginning was the word. It was a word of love. It was the word of compassion. God's steadfast love endures forever, we're told in scripture. And that is a love that was there before the earth was created and before we were woven together from the ash of long dead stars. One of the things I love about the feminine imagery that Isaiah uses is that the Hebrew root word for compassion is the same root word as for womb, which is why Isaiah uses it so fully there. The compassion that is there for you and for me and for the poor Jesus called us to serve is a womb love, the love of a mother for the child she carries. It's a love that nothing can separate us from. You talked about that kind of a musical background to the universe of God's love.
That's my metaphor.
And I guess we're kind of called to always be sleuthing that because
like big radio dishes,
right? The radio astronomers spent decades sleuthing the night sky to discover the background radiation that permeates the whole universe, and that background radiation is called the microwave background radiation. It is the echo from the Big Bang of creation. It's the echo from Let There Be Light. So just as radio astronomers have been sleuthing to find that background music of creation, we're called to do that in a spiritual sense.
And what I say about my sense of God's love being the background music, the foundation of the universe, is it's not an echo of what happened once a long time ago, like the Big Bang.
It's
absolutely then, and it continues, it doesn't stop, and nothing we do can make it stop or can separate us from that love of God, as scripture tells us.
Love is the background and the foreground, and the inner and the outer is all there.
So I want to share with you all something that I heard this week working with the congregation. I'm in another conference, and often when I'm working with the church, I'll say to them, you know, so what's your working vision statement? And some of them have them and some of them don't. But the pastor said, our vision statement is this: we act so that God's love is felt by all. And I thought, oh my gosh, that is a beautiful vision statement. We act so that God's love is felt by all. We act in accordance to this love that's already all there.
Mm-hmm. So we don't have to invent it.
We don't have to invent it. But through our actions, other people can realize that it's for them as well. Whoever they are, they can feel it. And we feel it also.
So for the past 4 weeks, we have been looking at gratitude, generosity, compassion. These all come from tuning our hearts and our minds to the music of love that God has placed in our hearts and in the background to everything. And so what is it? We act so that God's love is felt by all, so that all people can know they are beloved of God as well. To be members of what MLK, Martin Luther King Jr., called the beloved community. Even when secular policies of our government or of the world may sometimes look like they're working in the other direction against love, compassion, mercy, and justice, we are called to respond to that music that is in our heart to help create the beloved community.
And we do that in all kinds of ways. Mm-hmm. We do that in the ways that we reach out to each other. We do it in the ways that we raise our children. We do it in the ways that we're there for our neighbors, or we call someone that we know is lonely. We do it in the ways that we support the church with our prayers and our presence and our gifts and our service and our witness. We do it in returning our generosity pledges. We do it in all kinds of ways. And so our prayer for you and for us is that we be people of God who live out our compassion in tangible and intangible ways, day in and day out. And no matter how hard things are around us, as we choose to live that way, we believe that we'll get through this together with each other, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, and with God. May that be true for all of us. Amen.
Thanks so much.
And now we'll have some music from Catherine Parker, All Things Bright and Beautiful. And if you'd like to offer up a prayer request for the pastoral prayer after that, please feel free to do that in the comment section on the Facebook page.
Thanks so much. Enjoy the music. Thank you. Thank you, Catherine, for your beautiful photographs and your beautiful music and that wonderful old English melody about God's care for all of us, big and small. In your bulletin, if you have that, you will see that the prayer of the week, which we're not going to share now, but we're offering it to you for your prayer time during the week, is a prayer called Psalm and written by John Coltrane. And the text of it comes from the fourth, is movement the proper term when you're talking about jazz,
sure,
of his incredible album called A Love Supreme, an ode, a hymn to God's love. What is amazing about this psalm, and there's only a small part of it here, is that he wrote it out by hand, spontaneously, and then he played it on the saxophone while reading it. And so the music is the human voice.
And if you watch on the YouTube, you can actually hear the music. It's the rhythm of the words. It's really beautiful.
It's spoken. So it's powerful. The YouTube video brings you through Coltrane's handwritten psalm, and the music is there. And I invite you to spend some time this week. It's 7.5 minutes long, and you will be changed.
It's totally worth it.
It is worth it. It is a beautiful, beautiful experience. We're going to do something a bit shorter, which is a prayer that is only about 40 seconds. But we invite you to be in a time of prayer. We see several people have put prayers on the list here. So we invite you to share your prayers online with us and to enjoy and be a part of these words of assurance.
So let's join our spirits together. God, we live in darkness, unseeing. When we close our eyes, we see your light. We walk a path that's untrod, only your footprints before us. Forces of anger and evil surround us, the power of selfishness unleashed. We fear for our future, unknowing, yet your love is supreme, unfailing. We are children waiting for the war's end. We long for the noise to stop, but beneath the raging, your silence calms our trembling hearts. Beloved, hold us in this darkness, our unknowing, trust your praise. Your love be our gravity, our end, and tomorrow's willing embrace. We wait for the morning, we wait, but your light is already here.
It is in that light that folk have lifted up prayers this week. With Vicky, we pray for the Campbell family and for the Obrey family, where Dick Obrey passed away on Monday. Don lifted up prayers this week for the family of Ralph Run. He passed away Saturday. And Jan lifted up again her prayers for her daughter, Karen. Nancy lifted up prayers for Doug Driebelbeest and family on the loss of wife Beth. She was a teacher at EES and involved in the Joint Urban Ministry Project. For Mary Whitcomb and family on the loss of their lab, Jack. For Lisa Berry and family on the loss of their daughter, Hannah. Leaf lifts up Jessica, who is facing a recurrence of leukemia. Judy Hatton lifts up the family of Sherry Churchill, who passed away. Pat Mitchell has prayers for her brother Warren on Wednesday when he visits a specialist to see if he's a candidate for a cornea transplant. Sharon Slayback lifts up prayers for her brother-in-law, Ron Palestri, who has been diagnosed with COVID. Sherry Marcoux asks for prayers for the Marcoux family. Ruth Marcoux passed on Friday the 13th at 96 years of age, the mother of Joe Marcoux. With Allison, who says that we are expecting multiple deaths from COVID this weekend in the nursing homes, I would ask for prayers for patients and staff. We will lift them up, Dr. Allison, and strength and resilience for you in the midst of it.
And I especially want to lift up the name of Karen, my friend who is working in that kind of facility.
Narda lifts up prayers for the family of Hannah Fernald, who lost her battle with depression, and continued prayers for Mo and Jody B as they continue treatments for cancer. Joanne Hennessy lifts up prayers for Shannon that she may find the strength to work through her battle with addiction. You hear so many struggles, but together we find a wholeness and a completeness because we are all called by a love that has never failed us yet and never will.
A love supreme.
A love supreme. The love that Jesus taught us to share when he taught us how to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Oh, thank you for being with us and praying with us. We have some announcements before we send you all out. We have birthdays this week. Today is the birthday. This is not in the bulletin, but our friend in the Adirondacks. You want to share?
Kate Gardner. Happy birthday, Kate.
We also have a birthday tomorrow for Larry Holmes and for Kathy Witkowitz. Today is Gratitude Sunday, and we are reminding folk to send in the self-addressed stamped envelopes with your prayer card, your generosity card for ministry in 2021. And anyone who would like to help out with the ministry of this church who's not a part would like to hit the donate button at the church website.
Do you want to give us any updates?
Yes. Well, as of yesterday, 20 folk have returned cards, and it is good for nearly half of the budget. So that is pretty terrific. So,
and folks on the whole have been offering the same or have
slight increases as well. So
thank you. Great.
We are, as we said before, we are maintaining a flat budget. In fact, we've brought it down a little tiny bit over last year. Budget-wise, we kind of want to be in a holding pattern until COVID is done, but our ministry is not a holding pattern. The ministry is continuing to be active. Tomorrow night, we're going to be having our Zoom Bible study, talking about the Hebrew concept of strength, and the links are on your bulletin. We also have a few things we'll be putting out information about today. One is there's a cabinet Bible study for Advent.
Yeah, so our district superintendents for this annual conference have put together a Bible study that's based on a publication called It Is Enough, a Racism Bible Study. It's been developed by a pastor in the Eastern Pennsylvania Conference. And so from 7 to 8 o'clock this Sunday and next, and then the first two Sundays in December, they're going to take off the Sunday between, or the Sunday that's right after Thanksgiving. It's going to be led by Karen Munson, who's the district superintendent of the Many Waters District in Mid-Maine. And she writes that it's going to be an exploration of scriptural insights about human relationships and how we understand and unpack how bias and prejudgment is part of our individual and corporate lives together. And so if that is at all interesting to you, Karen does marvelous work, and I recommend that. We'll put the Zoom link for that on the Facebook page this afternoon so that you can get in. And if for some reason you can't find it, just drop me or Mitch an email or a text and we'll send you the Zoom.
There will also be an interfaith online Thanksgiving service out of the Fairfax Church. And we're invited to be a part of that. There's information about that in on the Facebook page.
Is that next Sunday?
I think that's next Sunday.
Okay.
And then one piece you'll be hearing about starting this week is we are going to be creating at the Essex United Methodist Church a big pile of seven small groups within the congregation. You talked about how we come to wholeness when we and all our different kinds of brokenness gather together, which we can't do in person during COVID. And we're really concerned about folks feeling isolated during the winter. So we're going to be creating small groups that can be in communication with one another via conference call, via Zoom, via letters, via email, via visits and waves from the front porch through a screen door, so that folks can be in communication with each other, to be sharing, to be a little bit of an echo of God's love and the beloved community with and for each other. And you'll be getting details about that this week, about what that's going to look like.
Just ways for the congregation to bind ourselves together in this time when we're all apart.
Amen.
And it's worth saying also that we've stopped holding in-person worship on Sunday morning because of the current COVID uptick and our governor's request that there not be any multifamily gatherings. And so right now, this kind of presence, digital, phone, distant presence, is all that we can do. And so it's a good time for these to get rolling.
One I hope delightful physical way of showing this is we're going to be delivering Advent wreath kits,
which are in the next couple of weeks,
which are little felt wreaths with LED candles, but will be a reminder of the love, not only of God coming to us in Advent, but also the love of this community.
And we'll use them in our Sunday morning worship. But we'll tell you more about that as Advent gets closer.
We are. I think that's all our announcements.
I think it is.
And brothers and sisters, we pray that you go out into God's beautiful world in love, in compassion, with generosity, with laps filled to overflowing with what God has given you. Go in gratitude, go in love, the love of the God who is creator and redeemer and sustainer now and forever. Amen.
Amen. Go in peace.
Go in peace.